Tantor Audio presents Hashtag Player by Cambria Hebert, narrated by Chandra Sky and Derek Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. A hush has fallen over the entire campus of Alpha U. Students want answers. Hashtag Waiting on Romeo. Alpha BuzzFeed. Rimmel.
You could find out her entire family is full of murderers and I would still love her.
Funny you should say that, because it appears her father is the one who killed her mother.
It wasn't true. Even my sharp denial wouldn't stop what I overheard, pounding inside my brain over and over again, until I swear my heart beat to the rhythm of those words. And just like a heartbeat, though no one could hear, I sure as hell felt it. I couldn't think about that right now. There was no room to feel the implications of Valerie's accusation. My focus could be only on the man who sat closely beside me. His body wasn't relaxed like normal, and even though he tried to smile at me with his easygoing, no-worry smile, it didn't quite come through. He was worried, anxious, and probably in pain, though I'd have better luck pulling out my teeth with my own fingers than ever hearing him actually admit any part of him was in pain. He didn't have to say it, and I didn't have to hear it. I knew, and Romeo was all that mattered right now.
You doing okay? I whispered, tilting up my head to look at his face. His ever-blue eyes found mine, and he smiled.
Waiting sucks.
It seemed like we'd been in the room for hours. Maybe it had been. I really couldn't say. The concept of time had been reduced to moments, one moment after the next. It had been that way since I stepped into the indoor football field, thinking Romeo had asked me to be there. One moment I was giddy with anticipation, and the next I was hanging vicariously from a field goal post, strung by a rope, and looking into the eyes of someone who'd clearly come unhinged. I shivered, and Romeo's arm tightened around me. His hand came up and flattened against the side of my head as he gently steered it against him.
You still cold? He rumbled.
I felt the words echo in his chest more than I actually heard them. No, I replied. He was too close for me to be cold. But not even the steadfast warmth of the man I loved was going to be enough to completely erase the memory of what Zack had done to me. To us.
Relax,
Romeo whispered, trying once more to push me farther against him. I held myself stiffly and lifted my head despite his effort. I don't want to lean on you anymore, I said. Your arm
is broken, he said, and it's over here.
He pointed across his body where he held it closely against him. The skin was a mottled purple color and the flesh was swollen. My stomach flipped over every single time I looked at it. His arm wouldn't be like that if he hadn't climbed up on that field goal to get me down.
You're on this side, he went on, like he didn't realize just how upsetting it was to see him like that. And you aren't hurting me.
I gave in and lay against him. He wasn't wearing a shirt and his skin was smooth, his body so solid and strong, that when I closed my eyes, I could pretend nothing on him could ever possibly be broken.
Rim,
he whispered a few minutes later.
I need you to tell me what happened.
His voice was harsh.
Before I got there.
My eyes sprang open. Why would he even want to know? Why would he want to relive anything that happened on that field even a second more than he had to? It's over, Romeo. There's no reason to bring it back up.
Hey,
he whispered, and slid his body out from under mine. I moved, immediately thinking maybe my weight was hurting him after all.
But before I could go very far, he turned onto his side to face me and palmed my hip, gently motioning for me to do the same. I glanced down in alarm because the hand he was holding me with was attached to his broken arm. He hadn't moved it that far or even that much, but I didn't want him to move it at all. Even as my body obeyed, turning on my side so we were face to face, my eyes went right to the place just above his elbow where the skin was clearly traumatized. I really hoped they came in here soon, and I hope they brought a giant Band-Aid. I knew it wouldn't fix what happened, but maybe not having to stare at it every second would make it easier to process.
"Hey," he said again, his voice gruff, yet commanding.
I looked up. He shook his head slowly, silently telling me to stop. His hand stayed still against the curve of my hip. He touched me nowhere else. He didn't have to. The azure shade of his eyes caressed me to my soul. I swear, he looked at me like no one else ever could. It was like there was nothing else in existence except me. It was like he wasn't just looking at me, but in me, and I was the most precious thing he'd ever seen. I got caught up in that gaze. I got caught up in him. My chest felt like it caved in, but not in a disaster sort of way. Like it was sealing in everything he was saying, even though no words ever left his tongue.
"How do you do it?" I whispered. My tongue felt thick against the roof of my mouth.
"Do what?" he asked. That look never once left his eyes. If anything, it swept me in tighter.
"How do you look at me like I'm everything?"
He made a low sound in the deepest part of his throat, sort of like a growl, sort of like an agreement.
"Because you are."
"Romeo," I sighed.
"Rimmel," he replied. "Don't forget."
I started to pull back from the moment, but his fingers tightened on my hip. I looked back up.
"Don't forget this moment. Don't forget the absolute truth in the way you feel right now. I love you, and I'm not going to stop."
Emotion welled up in my throat, and tears rushed to the back of my eyes. His words were beautiful, but it was the reason he said them that had me so choked up. This wasn't the end. Beyond this moment, this quiet, whole moment with him, were many more. Many more that weren't going to be like this one. We were going to have to keep fighting to keep what was ours.
"I'm not going to stop either," I whispered.
A smile stretched over his face and lit up his eyes. I leaned closer and sealed my vow with my lips. The rush of heat I always felt when we kissed tingled my toes, and they curled into the blankets. I opened my mouth so his tongue could venture inside, and I sighed, so wanting to feel him. But the moment was cut short. The door opened, and a man with graying hair, a white coat, and a file in his hand stepped in.
"Mr. Anderson," he said, looking straight at Romeo. It was like he didn't even notice the intimate bubble Romeo and I occupied. "I have your X-ray results."
The bubble burst abruptly, and reality rushed back in. Romeo's dad came in the room, his face concerned as Valerie hovered just outside the doorway, staring into the room like it was some forbidden fruit. I scrambled up to sit on the mattress, ignoring the protests of my sore body. Romeo did the same, moving a little more gingerly. In the space between us on the mattress, our fingers intertwined.
"How bad is it?"
Romeo asked. For once, I heard fear in his tone. I glanced at him. He glanced at me. Our moment was over. The fight started now.
Chapter 2 Hashtag FYI, the local pizza joint is delivering. Use discount code hashtag alpha down for 20% off. Hashtag feeding the hungry while they wait. Alpha BuzzFeed. Romeo. This was it. Whatever that x-ray showed would define my future. I'd never realized how much one piece of paper could change my life. I clung to Rimmel's hand with the desperation I hoped no one else noticed. But she was my lifeline, and if ever I needed one, it was right then. Dr. Craven stepped farther into the room and cleared his throat. He shuffled around a few papers in the folder he was holding, as if he were consulting his notes. My father stood nervously behind the doc, waiting just like me.
The x-ray was very clear, he began, and my gut tightened.
Wait,
Rimmel cut in, and all eyes turned to her.
She should be here.
Her hazel eyes looked toward the door. In the small glass cutout, I could see my mother hovering, anxiously bouncing from foot to foot.
Rimmel,
I said, harsh, about to shoot her down. Just looking at my mother right now made me fucking pissed.
Romeo,
she said. Her voice held a hint of steel.
She's your mother. You're seriously injured. She's worried and deserves to hear what the doctor's about to say.
Dad didn't wait for my reply. He went and opened the door and gestured for Mom. She rushed in the room like there was a fire in the hallway.
Roman,
she said, stepping closer, and I gave her a cold look that stopped her in her tracks. You can thank Rimmel for you being in here, I said, and then dismissed her and looked back at the doc. Upon my expectant look, the doctor cleared his throat.
Your arm is definitely broken,
he confirmed.
The good news is it's a closed fracture, meaning the bone didn't break through the skin of your upper arm.
The doctor pulled out an x-ray film and held it up to the light.
It's difficult to see in here,
he began, and pointed toward the image of my arm.
The break is here, above the elbow. It probably occurred by the way you fell. The distinct cracking sound you said you heard.
Beside me, Rimmel stiffened, and I squeezed her fingers.
That unpleasant sound was actually a good thing. It was a clean break.
Dr. Craven looked away from the film to smile at me. It was like he was delivering some great news. Excuse me while I don't have a fucking party.
Here's the point of the break. It's transverse, which means it goes straight across the bone,
he said, pointing at the film again. I did see a dark line in the white area of my bone.
It's a non-displaced fracture. The bones are still aligned, which means no surgery will be needed.
My mother let out an audible sigh of relief as the doctor tucked the film back in his folder.
What does all this mean for him?
My father asked. I was glad he did. I was having trouble posing the question. I wasn't sure I was ready for the answer.
This type of injury can be life-altering for someone in your profession,
the doc said, glancing at me knowingly.
But I see no cause for major concern.
A small part of me relaxed.
So I can still play?
I'm not quite ready to make any promises, he said, and my guts tightened. But because it's a clean break, you're young, clearly in perfect health, and seem to have no tissue damage or nerve damage, at this time, I would say it's a high probability that your career will not suffer.
Rimmel made a sound and bounced on the bed as she flung her arms around my neck. I bit back a groan as her sudden movements jerked my shoulders and pain radiated down my arm.
I would definitely suggest limited movement,
the doctor cautioned, looking directly at Rim. She pulled back immediately and went still. I patted her hand.
How long? I asked. I had to know. How long until you can play again?
The doctor echoed. He shook his head.
It's too early to say.
I growled.
How long? If you do exactly as instructed, if you don't push yourself, and bearing no complications, I would say you could be completely healed in 8 weeks.
Okay, that would put me toward April.
But,
he said, speaking over my thoughts,
The arm is usually in a weakened state and stiff after being cast.
He needs a cast, my mother said.
A cast is one option, he replied, glancing at her. But because of your health and your profession, I would recommend a splint with a shoulder support and sling. The compression support of the splint would assist with the swelling and increase the elasticity of the muscles.
What does that mean? Rimmel asked nervously.
It means there could potentially be less stiffness once healed, he answered. The sling will be for comfort, but also to help keep the area still. You'll need to see an orthopedic specialist to oversee your care, and also they can likely work out some sort of physical therapy, as I know you're anxious for that.
Yeah, thanks, I said, trying to take it all in. It didn't sound like this was going to be a career ender before it even started, and the relief from that almost knocked me over.
I'll be back in a few moments with a sheet of instructions, the splint and sling. I'm also prescribing some pain medication. No, I cut him off.
No pills.
I wasn't about to drug myself up. I didn't need that shit in my system. I tried to stay clean. He nodded. Then I suggest taking an over-the-counter anti-inflammatory, at least for the first few days. It will help the swelling and discomfort. I'll be back in just a few moments, he said, and then left the room.
Roman, my mother gasped when he was gone. Thank God it's not any worse.
An uncomfortable silence stretched across the room when I didn't answer.
Roman, my father admonished, and I shook my head. This isn't the time or place, I said.
Later.
I'm going to go out in the hall and put a call in to Johns Hopkins. Hopefully one of their ortho doctors can get you in, Mom announced. And I'll also run and get you some pain reliever, some ice packs, and a few pillows. You're going to need to keep that comfortable.
Thanks, I said and sighed.
Fuck, it was hard to be cold to my own mother.
I'll go with her, my father said. Before leaving, he turned back. Rimmel, is there anything we can get you while we're out?
She looked up and gave my father a smile. How she could smile at all was beyond me. No, thank you. Just take care of your son.
If you need anything, you let me know, he replied, winking.
She smiled, but once he was gone, she sank back into the pillow. Did I hurt you? She worried. When I hugged you?
No, baby. You didn't hurt me.
I'm so glad your arm isn't worse, she said, her voice catching.
Takes a lot more than a lawnmower to bring me down, I joked.
She didn't laugh. It was probably too soon for jokes, but that was damn funny. Before I could say anything else, another doctor in a white coat came into the room, this time a female. Miss Hudson, the nurses told me you'd moved in here. Her eyes moved toward me, and I gave her a lazy smile. She flushed and looked away. Would you care to step over to your side of the room so we can talk? Rim shook her head. He can hear this. The doctor nodded. It appears your injuries are superficial. I saw no signs of internal damage or hypothermia, though I would caution you to stay indoors and warm for the next few days. That won't be a problem, Rimmel muttered. Your cheek doesn't appear to have a hairline fracture like I originally thought.
I jerked upright.
What? I ground out. The doctor seemed startled by my sudden outburst, but Rimmel barely moved. She just reached over and patted my chest like she was humoring me. It's fine. I knew Zack had hit her. The bruise on her face was proof, but just the mention of it breaking a bone in her face made me want to find him and pound him all over again. Calm down, Rimmel said out of the side of her mouth and then turned back to the doctor. Go on. The swelling should go down quickly and the bruises will fade. The rope burns on your torso and stomach. The doctor slid a glance at me before quickly looking away. I took a deep breath. Will also go away, but I would recommend some simple medicated cream for the area where the skin was rubbed raw. Tension was building in my body, so much so that it was hard to sit still. I wanted to get up and pace. Yell. I can do that, Rimmel said like she was just having some conversation about oranges and not the state of her body.
I saw no signs of a concussion, so there's no reason to keep you overnight. I would like to check your torso again before you leave, but beyond that, I'll get your discharge papers ready.
Rimmel stood from the bed, and the one thing anchoring me was no longer there. I got up and started pacing. Rimmel gave me a look and sighed. She turned to the doctor.
You can check me over here.
She went toward her bed, and the doctor followed. I started to cross, but Rimmel shook her head.
I'm fine, and you're already mad enough.
Then she slid the curtain closed and blocked her side of the room from sight. It was cute she thought a curtain was going to keep me from seeing what those ropes did to her. I started forward, about to rip away the stupid fabric, when my doctor and a few nurses came in.
If we could have you sit down over here, Mr. Anderson, the doctor said, we'll get this arm immobilized.
I glanced back at the curtain before swearing under my breath and going to sit down. Rimmel might have managed to evade revealing exactly what Zack had done to her right now, but she wouldn't be able to put me off forever.
Chapter 3 Hashtag ER Sighting. Someone finally got past Nurse Zilla. Romeo's right hand left us all in his dust. Did you know? The hashtag nerd has a big bro. Alpha BuzzFeed.
Rimmel. I was naked. Well, okay. I wasn't naked. I was wearing a grossly thin hospital gown. So basically, I was naked. Can't a girl get away with a little dramatics after she was hung from a pole and blasted with an icy water hose? I had clothes, but they were soaking wet and ruined. Plus, every time I looked at them, I remembered everything that happened at the field. If I had a garbage disposal, I would probably attempt shoving them down and grinding them up until they were nothing more than shreds. But I didn't have a garbage disposal. And neither did Romeo. So I consoled myself by balling up the drenched garments and shoving them in a small trash bag beside the bed. It was probably a barf bag. But my clothes were pretty much the same. Unfortunately, that left me wearing this hospital gown. There was no way I could walk out of here in this, so I used Romeo's phone. Mine was MIA, along with my glasses, and called Ivy. She answered on the first ring.
Romeo?
Ivy gasped. The loud noise in her background seemed to halt. It's me, Ivy, I said.
Oh my God, Rimmel! What happened? Are you okay?
The light sound of voices floated behind her, and I couldn't help but wonder. Where are you?
I'm in the waiting room, duh!
You're here? At the hospital? I was surprised. How did she know I was here?
Are you kidding? Of course I am. Me and half the college. There is seriously not one spot open in this waiting room. I heard some people were waiting outside.
I peeked around the edge of the curtain. Romeo was resting on the bed, his parents at his side. His mother caught me looking, and I jerked back around behind the safety of the cloth.
How does everyone know we're here? The Buzz Boss has been blowing up the Alpha BuzzFeed for hours about it. Romeo's car driving to the hospital is not to be missed. And the way the cops swarmed the field? My God, Rimmel, I thought somebody was dead.
No one's dead, I said dryly. Then I thought about Zack. I actually had no clue what condition he was in.
Then why have you guys been in there so long? Seriously, people have started ordering pizzas.
I laughed.
Are you serious?
The nurses are pissed, Ivy said, but she was clearly amused.
Hey, that my little sis?
Someone yelled in the background. Ivy made a disgusted sound. I smiled as I pictured Brayden pushing through the crowd of people eating pizza and toward Ivy. Brayden was probably Ivy's least favorite person.
So what?
Ivy began to say, and then her muffled, outraged yell came through the phone.
Rimmel,
Brayden said into the line.
Hey, Brayden.
Girl, I was about to go Rambo on somebody's ass out here. No one will tell us anything,
Why didn't you just come back? He hesitated.
I wasn't sure what kind of shape everyone was in.
I heard the worry in his voice, and I felt bad for making him wait so long. He deserved better than that.
We're okay.
Well, I am. Romeo is injured. Brayden sucked in a breath.
Why don't you just come back?
I said. It would be easier to let him look at Romeo when he learned about the break. At least then he could see Romeo was going to be fine. And he would be fine. He had to be.
Will do, Tuta girl.
Brayden? I called before he could go. Romeo's clothes are wet. Do you have anything he could put on?
Yeah, I got a duffel in my truck. I'll bring it in.
Thanks, Brayden.
You sure you're okay?
He asked. There was way more perception in his tone than I realized he possessed.
It's been a long night, I replied wearily.
Here's Blondie,
he said, and then Ivy came back on the line.
Jerkface, she snapped. Rimmel?
Yeah. Hey, Ivy, I was calling because I don't have any clothes. All mine got ruined. Is there any way you can go get me something at the dorm?
I have some stuff in the car. I can grab that for you.
Awesome. Just tell the nurse I called and asked you to bring me some clothes.
See you in a few,
she said, and then hung up the phone. I laid the cell on the bed and stayed behind the curtain. Romeo's parents were still with him, and I wanted to give them some time alone. A sudden feeling of loneliness washed over me. I didn't have any family here. If it weren't for Ivy, I probably wouldn't have had anyone to call for clothes. I missed my mother. I knew she'd be here right now if she were alive.
Her father killed her mother.
The echoed words cut me like a knife. My father was all I had left besides my grandparents. I just couldn't stand the thought, the implication, that he would dare take my mother away from me. I sat down on the bed, my feet dangling over the side, and I looked down at my hands. My wrists were rubbed raw from where they'd been tied. I'd struggled, desperately trying to get free from the rope that bound them. One wrist was rubbed worse, and it was now wrapped. After the doctor looked at it a few minutes ago, she decided it should be covered just to keep the germs out of it for a while. My fingers ached and felt stiff from the cold and trying to untie the knots. In fact, my whole body felt sore, like I'd done an intense 3-hour workout. The doctor said that was normal because my body had been tense for so long as I hung, and that my muscles would hurt for a few days. Inside the white, itchy socks the hospital gave me, my toes were cold, and I thought longingly of my white faux fur boots Romeo gave me. I glanced over at the fur-lined boots I'd been wearing earlier that night, the only article of clothing that survived being tossed in the barf bag earlier. But they were soaked, and I wasn't putting my feet in them. I hopped down off the bed and my socks slid against the white tile floor. I caught myself on the side of the bed, but my side brushed against the mattress, and I hissed a little because my ribs and upper abdominals were really tender. Even through my clothes, my skin was rubbed raw. I hadn't seen the marks fully, only what I could by looking down at myself. It almost looked like I had some raging rash, the way my skin was mottled and irritated. Once I was steady, I walked over toward the small wardrobe against the wall and opened up the door. On the inside, there was a tall mirror, and I braved a peek at my reflection. I knew it was going to be bad, but it was way worse than I thought. I was almost fortunate that my vision was blurry from the lack of glasses on my face. Seeing the mess that was me with full clarity probably would have scared me. I stepped up close until my toes almost bumped the door and studied myself. My cheek was black and blue. Funny, I never thought the color purple could be ugly until I saw this shade. I saw now why the doctor had originally thought my
Sample complete. Ready to continue?